Come now. Stay in the spirit of worship right here, every eye closed. He's moving in this place. Just breathe in the Holy Ghost right now. Of this moment, as we keep playing that song, there's something special happening all across this room. In this pause, receive the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Come on, begin to lift up a sound all over this room. Shikaranda la 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 baba ba ya sanda. Sheru sande de baba la ya sanda du karashanda. Oranda da da baba la la ya sanda randa ma ya shandi. All over this place, we lift up a sound of praise. We lift up a sound of worship. Kinda rasanda. We lift up our voices to the King. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. Sing it, church. Sing it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
God, a big hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for allowing us to worship you. Thank you for allowing us to lift up holy hands to you to declare the matchless name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on and give God one more big hand of praise. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. It's nobody like him. Nobody like him in all of heaven or all the earth. It is such a joy to be with you this morning, Carpenter's Shop. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're tuning in on live, we're glad that you're with us. Carpenter's Shop is a multicultural, multi-generational church whose mission is to love, win, build, and send. As we continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings, please know that there are several ways to give. You can do so by text, you can do so on our My Church app, or you can do so on our website. If you're giving by check, please include your email on the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. If you're watching online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description. And if you're in the building, we invite you at this time to come forward and drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
Well, hello, brothers and sisters of the kingdom. Fabulous to see you today. Man, you must be the reinforcements the king promised me.
Let me introduce myself. I am Robin Good, and I am on a special mission on behalf of the king, King Lionheart. What's that you're wondering? What is my mission? Well, it's quite simple. I am in search of the source of bravery.
As you may know, King Lionheart was a brave and mighty king. He's been ruler over these parts for many, many years. But over that time, something has happened. And now he is no longer brave. And the kingdom is under attack. The Dark One has his armies at the gate. And the king's soldiers can only hold off for so much longer. They need a leader. They need King Lionheart to get his bravery back, so that he can lead them to victory once again. When he was a young king and he was traveling through the land, King Lionheart left clues along the way, just in case something ever happened to his bravery, he could go back and find those clues to remember where it came from. And so, brothers and sisters, we are here
to find his bravery.
I used to be a robber. I was very good at sneaking around and taking things that didn't belong to me. But one day, King Lionheart saw me, and he saw something in me that nobody else had ever seen. And he told me, "Robin Good, you will come and you will work for me. I have big plans for you. I know you are meant for more than stealing." Ever since that day, I've been working for the king, and there's no way that I'm gonna let him down. I will find the source of bravery. But you know what? I would really like it if I didn't have to do this all alone. Do you guys think that you would want to come on the journey with me? Oh yeah, I can count you in. Man, that would be so great, guys, because there might be a few things that I might need your help with along the way. But listen, I have plenty of things in my bag to get us through. So put on your walking shoes, guys. It's time to go. Whew. Boy, that was a lot of walking. Let's see if we're getting close. Hold on. Let me get something out of my bag. This is just a map. King Lionheart gave me this. It tells us where all the clues can be found so that we don't have to guess. And it says right here on the map that the first clue is just over that hill. Let's go, guys, let's go get it. Oh man, guys, do you see what I see? It looks like a whole bunch of the Dark One's soldiers are right down there in that valley waiting for us. Guys, we are gonna need something extra special to get past them. Hold on. Let me check the bag. Perfect. Guys, down in the valley, I also saw some sheep and some cows. So maybe if we have a disguise, we could blend right in with them and we'll sneak right through those soldiers. They won't even know we're there. Here, guys, you be the sheep and I'll be the cow. How does it look? Do you think they'll recognize me? Maybe if I do some sounds to go along with my disguise. Oh, is that good? Okay, you guys are the sheep. Let me hear your sheep sound. Oh, we are ready. Guys, don't worry. Just be brave. We've got this.
Ooh. Oh.
Ma. Ma. Ma.
Oh.
Oh, man. We made it. I knew we'd make it. We just had to be brave. And look. Guess what I see right over there? I see the first clue. Let's go get it. Got it right here, guys. Clue number one. Oh, whew. We can take off our disguise now. Let's open it up. Let's see what it says. Wow, man, guys. You know what? This is an awesome clue. You know what it says on here? It says, God knows who I am. Wow, guys, this means that a long time ago, King Lionheart, he must have known that God knowing who he was one of the reasons that he was brave. What do you think that has to do with being brave? Oh, I remember now. I remember this book that King Lionheart, he let me read. It was called the Bible. And in that book, there were stories about God. And some of those stories talked about how God knew who we were and that God put us exactly where we are for a reason. So, let me think. That must mean that if I'm here and you're here, God put us here for a reason too. And since we were put exactly where we are by God, then we don't have to be scared. We can be brave. Man, guys, King Lionheart's gonna be really excited to get this first clue. I'll tell you what, why don't you guys just set up camp and hold tight and have a little rest. I'm gonna take this clue back to the king. It'll take me about a week to go there and back. I'll see you then, and we'll be off to find the next clue. And remember, if you get scared, just be brave. God knows who you are.
What, amen. What an amazing truth to think about, to know that God knows me because God created me. He knows every single thing about me. And he has amazing things in store for me that are perfect for me because he knows me that well, because he created me. We've asked some kids today, what is the best thing about being them? Because God created them in such a special and unique way. So we have a video I'm going to show you of their idea of what is the best thing about being them.
God made me strong so I could do stuff that I never thought I would be able to.
I like about myself is that I'm good at video games. I like sports. I love Christmas. And that I like going to church. And that I like to go fishing sometimes.
The best part about being me is I like to do things in a different way.
The thing about being me is I like my curly hair, and I like my family and my friends, and I like my school that I go to, and my dogs.
I guess you.
The best thing I like about myself is that I can draw, I'm smart, and I get along with everybody.
I'm my own person.
Jesus watching us and he made us.
Loving God.
Kind to others. I am friendly to other people and I love God.
Best thing about being me is working on my dad's car, going to the racetrack, and my family and my dog and the friends that I have.
Please.
Jesus
wants us and loves us. And he made us.
Hanging with my family, loving God, and learning in school.
I like to dance, sing, pretend, talk.
The best part of being me is that there's only one of me in the whole entire world.
Let's give them a hand. That was a great job they did. I don't know about you, but I think our future is bright, and it excites me to see that they already know the great things that God has put inside of them and the great things that God has created about them. Today, we're going to continue, and we're actually starting a new series called Brave, and we're talking about stories of courage in the Bible all month long. We're talking about the story of David today. And there was a man named Samuel, and he was a prophet, which just meant God would speak to Samuel, and then Samuel would speak to the people. And God had told Samuel to pick a king because the people wanted a king so badly. And he picked Saul, as God said. But unfortunately, Saul had stopped listening to God. And it made God's heart very sad. And so now it was time to pick a new king. And he told Samuel, God told Samuel, go to the house of Jesse. So he goes to Jesse's house, and he gets there, and oh, he sees a bunch of tall, handsome men, and Samuel says, okay, our new next king is definitely here. So he asks God to help him pick the next king, and Jesse brings a son to him, and God says, nope, not that one. And he brings another son, and God says, nope, not that one. And he brings seven sons, and it wasn't any of the sons. And God said, Samuel, remember, I don't look at the outside of a person. I'm not looking at how tall they are, how handsome they are. I'm looking at the inside. I'm looking at their heart. So Samuel says, okay, Jesse, are there any other sons? And he says, well, I have the younger son. He's keeping the sheep. And Samuel says, bring him here. And God said, that's the one, because of David's heart. And they anointed David. They poured oil on David's head to show that he would be the new king after Saul. See, you know, Samuel would not have picked David. Jesse, his own father, probably would not have picked David. He was the youngest of the sons. But God knew exactly who David was. God knew all the special things about David, and that he would be the perfect person for the job. David played beautiful music on a harp, and David already began to serve the current king, Saul, because Saul would get so upset because he wasn't listening to God, and they would call David to play music on his harp because it would make Saul feel so much better. God knew every special thing and everything that David could do, that he would be perfect for the job. I need Denasia to come up and Keaton. I have some gifts here, and I'm going to give away some presents. Jackson really wanted these presents this morning. It was his birthday last week. He thought he was getting another birthday present. All right, come on up here on this. Actually, Keaton, you can stand on this side, and Denasia, you stand over here for me. You can spread out just a little bit. All right, so I'm going to let ladies go first. Denasia, I'm going to let you pick which present you would like to have. Would you like to have, let's show everybody, we have this present, and then we have this present. Which one do you want? She's been in my kids' church long enough. She knows. All right, and that means you get this present. Keaton, you want to go ahead and open your big, beautiful present first. Let's let him go ahead and open that up. Keaton, when's your birthday? Oh, it's already passed. Will you get a late birthday present here? All right, let's help him out. Amazon. Came straight from Amazon, Keaton. All right. We're an Amazon family. Here we go. All right, open that up and see. Oh, he hears it rattling. Let's see. It was a beautiful present. It was the bigger box. Oh, sorry. Oh, it's got another box inside there. Open that up and see what's inside there. Oh, Keaton. Oh, you have 5 pennies. Oh, it was such a beautiful box, though. Oh, I'm sorry. I really thought she was going to pick the big one. I forgot. Denasia, she's been in my kid church for a lot of years now. All right, Denasia, pick. Now, this one was small. It wasn't very pretty on the outside, but let's see what's on the inside of that one. getting that tape. When's your birthday, Denasia? May. Oh, we're not quite as late for your present. May. What's she got in there? I used too much tape. All right. Oh, she's also got a box. Keaton, what do you think? Do you think she's got five pennies, too? Oh, what has she got? She's got $10. Happy late birthday, Denasia. Thank you guys for your help. Thank you so much. You guys, you get to keep the money. You said, do I get to keep the money? Yes, you get to keep the money. All right, thank you. You get to keep the money too, baby. You can go back to your seat. You can go ahead, baby. You can take the box or keep the box, either one. I can take it. All right, so that's kind of the way it is in life. You know, we would be tempted to go with the bigger, more beautiful box. But God looks at what's on the inside because he knows us. He knows every single thing about us, and he has amazing things planned for us, a plan just perfect for us. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for helping us to be brave because you know who we are. We thank you that you know everything about us, that it doesn't matter what we look like on the outside because you know our heart. God, help us to remember with whatever we're facing that you knew us and when you put us in that situation, and you knew that we had everything we needed to get through it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Praise God. How many of you like kids' church more than you like adult church? Come on. Come on. Come on. I know you can. It's okay. It's all right. I'm okay with it. You know, think about it, though. I mean, during this season, which is very unusual, it would be very tempted just to say, you know, we don't want to put that in the middle of the, you know, the ministry time because people might turn it off. Can I just tell you something? People won't turn it off. You know what they'll do? They'll say, man, wait to the kids' message, all right? And listen, if you left right now, you'd have a message sent from the Lord to your spirit. Come on, bravery. How about bravery, all right? Let's give it up for Pastor Gary, Pastor Miranda. It takes a lot of work to do what they do behind the scenes. And listen, if you can help in any way, you just simply let them know. If you can help in any way, there might be a time that you could get in that studio. It's right upstairs. And help them out just a little bit. I'm just thankful for what they're doing. Listen, God's got such an amazing thing. Today is just, it's kind of like a buffet. There's several things on it. And I believe God's going to speak to our hearts today in a very special way still. We have missions guests with us. Last Sunday, I was in Seattle, Washington, in the little area outside of Seattle called Renton. And I was at International Christian Center. And in that service was a couple that they enjoyed my preaching so much. They said, do you have like extra seats available? No, I'm telling a lie here. Austin and Hannah, stand up and just wave to the crowd this morning. They're our special missions guests, but you know what? That's been on the calendar for a long time, but it just so happens that they are part of ICC in Renton, Washington, with Pastors Daniel and Connie Ong, and that's where Pastor Josh and Pastor Cassandra are going to be now. And so we're gonna have an opportunity to sow in, somebody say sow in, to their ministry today. What an awesome opportunity. When COVID comes, listen, you don't back up. You move forward and you press on. You don't not give. You give more. Amen? We've given away more from this church in the last 2 or 3 months than we have in the last 2 or 3 years. God enabled us in the month of July, come on now, to give away almost $70,000 worth of food from this parking lot. Come on. Think about it. And you know, we have pennies on the dollar in that experience when you really look at it. God's favor rests upon us so that we were able to do that. And I'll tell you what, we wouldn't have been able to do it. I wasn't even here for the last two giveaways. And I'm watching from all the way across the U.S. I'm watching a team of excellent volunteers execute that ministry. And so if you helped with that, would you please stand up today? If you helped in the month of July with giving food away from this parking lot, please stand up. We just simply want to say thank you. Amen. Kids, adults, youth, just doing all kinds of things to make that happen. And let me tell you something, it's a tremendous blessing to be able to do that. And in the month of August, we're going to continue to do that. God's already made provision for us. We're waiting on a tractor trailer load of watermelons to be given away right here from this parking lot. How many of y'all like watermelon? Come on. I do. So we're waiting on a tractor trailer load of watermelon from some North Carolina farmers that'll happen sometime in the first couple of weeks of this month of August. Today, I want to turn your attention to CSIC 40 days. Amen. If you have a smartphone, would you take it out right now? You should be able to be on the internet through the guest feed right here in the church on Wi-Fi, CSIC guest. But if you have a smartphone, come on, hold it up if you got a smartphone. If you got a dumb phone, hold that up. Amen. A flip or something like that. Well, if you have a smartphone, just simply all you have to do is go www.csic40days.com. CSIC40days.com. You can see it right there on the screen there. CSIC40days.com. And you'll have everything you need. So we had multiple people. We just put it online yesterday. We had multiple people to already sign up to go on this journey. Uh-oh, what are we going to do? We're going to fast for 40 days. Some of you are saying, are you kidding me? No, I'm not. And I want everybody to be involved. This is something that happened as a result of Pastor Joy speaking into my life. Come on now. It happened as one evening we were sitting there talking, and you know, we're just sitting there like two young people happily married in our rocking chairs. Come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just sitting in the chairs. And we're just talking about the things of God. And God begins to speak to me through her. Amen? Listen, I always wanted to hear the voice of God. How many of you want to hear the voice of God? But I just didn't know it was going to sound like Joy. Come on. But sometimes God uses her to speak to me. Amen? He uses her to speak to me. And hopefully he uses me to speak to her. And she said, you know, Wallace, she said, I really feel like God is just really speaking to my heart about a season of fasting. And I said, well, what do you mean by like a season? How long are you talking about? She said, well, I really feel like 40 days. And I'm like, in my spirit, I'm like, are you kidding me? Come on, 40 days. I mean, you know, I've been on fast before. When I say fast, my mind doesn't go to, well, I'm unplugging my TV. When I say fast, I'm not, well, I'm not going to have Mountain Dews for 3 weeks. You know, when I say fast, you know what I think of? I think of no food, okay? My definition of a fast for me, somebody say for me, is no food, okay? So I've done that before, and my experience is that when I've fasted before in my life, you know, day one is not bad because you're just excited about it. Day two, you're standing at the crossroads and your stomach is about to pop you in the face saying, feed me. And by the time you get to the third day, you're at the home stretch, and day four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, you could care less about a hamburger. You really don't care at all. In fact, I've discovered that once you get that far in the fast, you really have to make a conscious, willful decision to eat again. Anybody fasted like that before? You have to make a conscious, willful decision. And sometimes you're at the crossroads of, you know, God, should I eat? Or, I mean, is it going to be bad for me to eat? Because if I need to keep on fasting, I just will go for it. When you get out there that far, food is not an issue anymore. You can survive a long time, especially if you got a backpack like mine. Amen? Some of y'all didn't get that. You can survive a long time without food. And so here in the next few moments, I'm going to give you some alternatives. You say, well, man, you already lost me. I'm not giving up food. That's okay. But you know, you can discover that God can speak to you about fasting in a multiplicity of ways, and I trust he's going to do that today. I want to share a verse of scripture with you from the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 58, verse number 6, it says, is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? And here's the purpose: to loose the chains of injustice. How many of you would agree that there are some tremendous chains of injustice going on in the world today? How many of you would like to have some artillery to deal with that? to just move forward in that and to be an agent of the Holy Spirit to deal with some of the chains of injustice and to untie the cords of the yoke. Listen, if you know it or not, there are so many things that the enemy will shoot at you to hold you back, to tie your hands behind your back, to steal your bravery, to come against you. And he says, listen, fasting will loosen and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free. There are many people in the body of Christ that are bound up. Come on. Come on, I'm just telling you. There are folk who are bound up by circumstance. Do you know some people are bound up by COVID? They are. They're bound up by COVID. It's an oppressive spirit that is lurking all over the United States of America. And listen, I'm not talking about whether you wear a mask or not. That's your choice. If you want to wear a mask, we welcome that. If it makes you feel better to keep you away from germ or keep your germ away from others, we respect that. That's okay. But I'm talking about COVID that has crippled many Christians in the body of Christ. It's crippled many. There are some folk, I talked to someone in the last couple of weeks that is literally afraid, filled with fear to even come out of their house. They put a note on the door. They write the groceries up there. Someone comes and picks up the note, gets the groceries. They leave the money in an envelope. Come on. Won't come out of the house since March. Can I just tell you something? God does not want you to live. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love, and here we go, a sound mind. Now, neither does he want you to just not wash your hands and just sneeze all over it. No, 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 no. There has to be a balance here, beloved. And I'm just telling you, there's an oppressive spirit that's lurking over this nation. And I believe that there's a lot of things going on that really don't have to go on. And I, for one, am going to stand in the gap and pray and believe that I'm going to be an agent to help, to assist in breaking the stronghold, the oppressive spirit over God's people that comes along with the package we call COVID-19. Amen? If you get upset with me for that, you got a problem, okay? I just want to come against that spirit, that oppressive spirit that is robbing God's people of what God has for them. And then he says, listen, it'll just break every yoke. Amen? So fasting really helps. Isaiah said, and if you should read the whole chapter, chapter 58, about verses 6 to 14. You should just at least read those verses today when you get home sometime this evening. It'll talk about fasting. It will help you tremendously. If you follow along on this page here, csic40days.com, you'll discover that we have some principles there that will help you on this journey. And you, every one of you, can fit into this plan in some way. Can you imagine with me for a moment what it will be like, what Carpenter Shop International Church will look like, what your household will look like, what this community, this church will look like if every one of us jump on board and from tomorrow, somebody say tomorrow, from tomorrow till September the 11th, if you were to consecrate yourself for 40 days, can you imagine what we could experience during and after a season of consecration like this? Our team of amazing pastors and elders and volunteers, you know, they got this information just a day or so ago, and they've already had a chance to look through it. And everyone who's on board with this, in their spirit, in their mind, are going to make a major difference in the area of fasting, focus, and faith. Something powerful happens when you set aside a season and say, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to seek the face of God. I'm going to seek His face for 40 days. This is not an easy undertaking. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. Come on. This is not something easy to do. It's sacrificial. But please know that we're praying for every one of you during this season because God is going to do something incredibly powerful in your life and in my life. And then there's a tab on there called Our Connections. What are the connections that I need? What are the tools that I need, simple tools that will help me connect to the heart of God? If God has spoken through my pastoral leadership, what are some things that I'm going to need? Well, quite simply, you're going to need a Bible, amen? You're going to need the Word of God in a translation that speaks to you, that you can understand. personally for me, my two choices are the NIV, and probably I'm getting to a place where the NLT is catching up and passing the NIV. I like the New Living Translation. Amen? And so it speaks to my heart. I've been on the NIV for years. But the New Living Translation really speaks to my heart. And on occasion, as you hear me preach, you hear me reference the message just for clarity and understanding and some powerful renditions of Scripture. So you need a Bible that you can understand. And if the King James works for you, that's okay. Just use one that can speak to you so that you can understand. Secondly, you need a journal. Amen? How many of you did not get a journal when you came in the building? Security guys, if you'll help me here, maybe Elaine and some others who helped at the beginning. If you did not get a journal, please raise your hand. Hold your hand up until someone gives you one. This is a journal. On the inside of it are blank pages. I remember a season of my life where I was going through a real difficult time in my prayer life. And I felt like praying for me was monotonous, was boring. I felt like when I came to God, it was kind of like, how many of you know it kind of gets kind of like this sometimes? You know, Lord, thank you for this food. Let it nourish and strengthen my body. Use me for your glory in Jesus' name. How many of you know that if you're not careful, you will become like a broken record, okay? Come on, if your hands are raised, just keep them up until they get you one. They're distributing them. And if you don't have a smartphone, they'll give you an old-fashioned copy. It's called paper, and it's got, you know, the guidelines on there. If you don't have a smartphone, just tell them, and they'll give you a slip of paper. But anyway, my prayer life became monotonous. And so you know what I did? I took a pen, and I took a journal, and I literally started on a Monday. And Monday morning, I said, Father, I just want to thank you for this day. And I just wrote it, Father, I just want to thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that as the sun came up today, I thank you, Lord, that the sun came up today, so did your mercy and your grace. Thank you for allowing your grace to be extended to me. And I started writing intentional prayers on paper that were far outside of the scope of the norm of what I had been praying. You know what happened after about 3 days? I tossed the journal aside. You know why? Because God inspired a new fire inside of me to pray with creativity. Come on, how many of you know what I'm talking about? To listen, not to me and to the things that I've prayed before, but to listen, here we go, to the Spirit and allow the Spirit to pray through me, for me. Amen? Sometimes I couldn't write down the syllables that were coming out of my mouth. You know what I'm talking about? You know, so listen, I just threw the journal aside. But here, let me just tell you something. You need a Bible and you need a journal. And what I'm asking you to do is to journal your thoughts. Write down August the 3rd. That's tomorrow. So today, if you're going for broke, you know, and you're going to total fast, we'll get to that in a moment, and you need to go out and just have a big splash today, you better do it today, okay? Because tomorrow when the sun comes up, it's not going to be business as usual. So every day, August 3rd, Monday, Lord, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to fast today. Here are some things that I'm believing for in my life through this CSIC 40 days. Jot those things down. And when you get to the 40 days, then you'll have a chance to go back and reflect and see as the Holy Spirit inspired you to write down the name of someone. Maybe why God laid that name on your heart, because you heard they got healed. Amen. And so journal for 40 days. Don't miss it. Every day, write a journal. If it's just a couple of sentences, or it could be 2 pages that day. But you start journaling your thoughts in the Spirit on paper, and God will speak. You need a Bible. You need a journal. Thirdly, you need a reading plan. Now, for me, this is what I'm doing. Okay, so if you want to copy me, it's okay. I've done this before. I'm starting when? August the 3rd. So tomorrow morning, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read Psalms 3 and Proverbs 3. If you read a proverb a day in 30 days, man, you're talking about the wisdom of God's kingdom deposited into your spirit for 30 or 40 days. So that's what I'm doing. Psalms 3, Proverbs 3. On the 4th on Tuesday, Psalms 4, Proverbs 4. Okay? And then, or maybe you want to go to your app on your phone and go to www.bible.com/reading/readingapps. You can find a reading plan. You can use YouVersion on your phone and discover all kinds of Bible reading plans that will help you. Or you can simply hit the tab when you go join the team here, and we will have a short devotional for you every day. I already have online Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Okay? Some instructions. Here you go. Read this verse. I made a few comments. And at the end, take your journal out and respond to what we just talked about. Okay? So I'm helping you. Okay? I'm helping you. I'm encouraging you. I'm inspiring you to go on this journey. You need a Bible. You need a journal. You need a reading plan. And then you need a playlist of worship. You might be on Spotify, you might be on Pandora, you might have something called a CD that you pop in a player. But whatever you need to do, find you some worship music, because when you enter into the prayer time, it's always good to just kind of turn your, you know, your YouTube Bethel on, or your YouTube Elevation, and just kind of lay it over on the side and allow yourself to soak in His presence while the worship music is playing, okay? So you need that. You need to create an atmosphere of worship that you're comfortable with. And if you do this for 40 days, I'm going to tell you, God's going to do something amazing in your life. Okay, so we got connections. What about our heart in fasting? If you're on the page there, you can see this. What about our heart in fasting? The heart is the key element of fasting, okay? The heart is the key element. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who said this. He said, prayer is the tender nerve that moves the muscles of God's omnipotence. When you pray, when you fast, when you seek the face of God, he said that's the tender nerve that moves the muscles of God's power. So if you're not careful, you will be selfish in your fasting and say, if I really want something from God, I'm going to fast and pray. Can I just be honest with you? If you do that, you're not going to get anywhere. You don't fast to manipulate God's hand. Because when you fast, you know what happens? This is powerful. Don't miss this. Somebody ought to put this on Facebook. When you fast, what happens is you bring yourself to the spiritual posture that you should have been walking in all along, so that you can see that God has the power and the ability to help you in your situation. When you fast, God doesn't change. When you fast, you change and you see God as you should have seen Him to start with. Oh, come on, somebody ought to be saying something here. Amen, oh me, come on. When you fast, you're able to see God in the perspective that you should have seen Him all along. And so fasting is really about your heart. And so how should I fast? Well, you can do the total fast. The total fast, in this is a complete fast where you eliminate all food consumption to your body. That hurts, don't it? No, it doesn't. It doesn't hurt. You'll make it. You can drink water. You can have some light juices, okay? You can have some nutrients going into your body that, you know, maybe you need some vitamin C, vitamin B, vitamin D, whatever. You can find some nutritional things to drink, okay? Maybe some light fruit juice. Or there's a selective fast. This is a type of fast that eliminates a certain part of your diet. Maybe you're just going to say, well, you know what, for these next 40 days, starting the 3rd all the way through September the 11th, I'm not going to eat any meat, okay? That's a selective fast. Or maybe you could say, for this 40 days of fasting, I'm just going to do away with all breads and sweets, okay? Come on, no Bojangles biscuits, okay? I mean, can you make it without a Bojangles biscuit for 40 days? Sure you can. It's a selective type of fast. The Daniel fast is an example where you take selective foods and you push them to the side and you only eat a certain amount of selective foods. Or you can have a partial fast. What is a partial fast? A partial fast is a fast that eliminates all foods for a certain time of the day. Maybe you might not consume any food from 6 p.m. at night all the way till noon the next day. Some people call that intermittent fasting. You might say, hey, after 6 o'clock tonight, nothing else till lunch tomorrow. And then you eat a meal at lunch, maybe something in the afternoon at 4:30 or 5 o'clock, and then that's it until noon tomorrow. That's a partial fast. or there's a social fast. This is a fast from things in your life that may not have anything to do with food. Maybe you deactivate Facebook. That ain't a bad thing. Come on. Maybe you deactivate Facebook. You just go in there. You sign out. They're going to ask you. They're going to plead with you. Don't leave. Why are you leaving? And you get four or five choices of the reason why you're leaving. And all you got to do is just turn it off so it won't be a temptation for you. But then when the 40 days is over on September 12th that morning, you can say, okay, I think I'm going to open back up Facebook and activate my account again. Okay? Or maybe you just say for 40 days, I'm not doing TV. Okay? I'm not going to watch any more Andy Griffith. No more Bonanza. I'm not going to do that for 40 days. Well, I've watched it a few times. Maybe you can fast socially. Maybe you can say no more Instagram for 40 days. Nobody's trying to shove something down your throat here. I'm just simply inviting you to join Pastor Joy and myself. Whether you're a leader here in the church or just a part of the fellowship, I'm just inviting you to come along with us for 40 days and allow God to equip you in a spiritual manner like he's never equipped you before. That's all I'm doing. It's an invitation. And I think, I know that you can find yourself somewhere on this list, okay? Just pray about that. You can find daily devotionals for 40 days on the website, csic40days.com. And if you didn't get a journal, if one didn't get to you, they're in the foyer. Okay, we're providing those for you. Thank God for Walmart, 38 cents. Amen, 38 cents. This might be the best 38 cent you can find. I found them yesterday, and I said, Pastor Joy, look, I've got devotionals. They're not that bad. We can buy these for the church. They're not that bad. She said, how much are they? I said, they're only $1.69. Isn't that cool? And she says, I'm loading them up. I already got the basket loaded. I got the basket loaded, and I'm just going, hey, I got 130 of them, okay? I'm ready to go. She said, no, 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 come over here. And I said, what are you doing? She said, put them back. I said, why? She says, because I found something just as good as yours for 38 cent. Amen? Pastor Anoli, you will appreciate what she did, I'm sure. Amen? Always makes it feel better when you have administration happy. Amen. 38 cent for the glory of God. The entire church can journal for 50 bucks. Can you imagine that? Come on, give the Lord praise today. And you know what? If there are journals in the hallway and you'd like to invite a friend to join you that's not here today, go by and pick up another 38 cent journal. Tell them to take their smartphone and go to csic40days.com and go on a journey with you. And keep up with your partner during the fast. In fact, it wouldn't be bad at all for you to just have an accountability partner. Select someone in the body. Select someone to go with you. Say, hey, would you be an accountability partner for me during the fast? Because I really don't want to violate anything. I want to hold myself accountable to someone for 40 days. Not a bad idea. So let's just pray right now, and let's just ask the Father to help us understand where we individually plug into this model. If you're listening online, listen, thank God, join us. Join us online. Just comment in the section below. Hey, Pastor, I'm in. Just comment below, and just get you a journal. Go to Walmart, 38 cent, pick you up one, or you can journal on your phone. There's all kinds of applications where you can write notes. Evernote, notes. You can keep notes on your phone. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts today. We've been preaching on transformational living. Lord, this is truly a means and a method that aligns with the Bible on how not only our lives, but the lives of those we're connected to can be transformed. This is also an indication of how our community, our church, our region can experience the breakthrough that we've been longing for, Lord. I speak revival over this region in the name of Jesus. In the midst of the most inopportune time, I speak revival over Ahoskie and the surrounding area. I speak that that oppressive spirit that's lurking over this region will be broken in the name of Jesus. I speak breakthrough, healing, blessing, favor, dominion, authority over these people today that are in this room and those that are watching online. God, help us today to find our place where we fit in this fasting 40 days in Jesus' strong name. Come on, somebody say amen. 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 God's going to do it. Why don't you give him praise right now? God's going to do something powerful during this season. I believe it. And good news, good news, good news. Right in the middle of this season of fasting, we're going to have 4 nights of revival. Amen. 4 nights of revival right here. You say, well, Pastor, is it really smart to have revival in the middle of COVID? Absolutely. It's brilliant right in the middle of it to have revival where people can come and bring the sick to be prayed for. Listen, your social distancing, if you're sitting close together to somebody, it's because they're in your family. You can social distance. You can wear the mask. Do what you need to do, but don't put the church on the back burner. I posted it yesterday. Hey, you're going to Walmart. It's the weekend. You're going to Food Lion. Why don't you just go to church? You go everywhere else you want to go. My wife said, you think that's okay? I said, yeah, I do. If you want to add, if you want to receive it as an insult or something, that's your problem. I'm just saying, hey, by faith, you go to Walmart, you go to the grocery store, go to church, put your mask on and go to church if that's what you need to do. But why is it we're just telling the whole world, you know, you need to go everywhere else, but you can't go to church and you can't sing. In California, you can't sing. Thank God for a pastor who stood up in California last week and said, you know what, we hear what you're saying, but we're going to church and we're going to sing. And John MacArthur had 3,000 in church last Sunday. 3,000 people in church last Sunday. Listen, break that spirit of oppression. Be wise, but break that spirit of oppression. Because you know, I told Pastor Joy yesterday, we went to a store yesterday, and I borrowed Pastor Gary's. Because I felt like a cow. You go in this way, and the lady said to me, she said, do you need a mask? I said, nope, I got my own. On what she was saying was you have to wear a mask. So what did I do? I ain't shopping here. No, I put my mask on, and I went on and did my shopping. And then when we got ready to leave the store, I was walking toward the exit, and I heard that thing. You can't go through there. One way in, one way out. Okay. I told her. She said, "Are you agitated?" I said, "I feel like a cow." You know what? It's frustrating, isn't it? It's a little frustrating. But can I just tell you something? You have to be careful. You have to be careful just to buy into, you know, this is what we have to do. Everybody has to do this. And they'll tighten it up and tighten it up and tighten it up. Because I believe there's a whole lot going on behind the scenes that you and I may not know. Okay? But when you start to rip away my rights in the spirit and my walk of faith, I'm going to kind of come against that, okay? I'm going to do it in love. I'm going to do it in faith, but I'm not going to just take everything that comes down through the pipe, okay? All right? Find yourself in CSIC40days.com. I promise you, you'll be richly blessed. And on the 12th of September, if you want to get together with me on the front pew of this church and have a big old bucket of KFC chicken, I'll join you here, okay? Amen. In the fellowship hall or somewhere, because we will break the fast and throw down. Amen. All right. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, today's an incredible day, too, because this service is powerful. You know why? Because we've had worship, we've had kids ministry, we've had a call to fasting, and now we get a chance to dig into our hearts and embrace something God's placed on somebody else's heart. And while we may not be able to go where they're going, we can help send them there, all right? We can boot them out and say, get on up across the borders to the place where God's called you. Today's a mission Sunday, and you and I get to reach into our pockets and bless somebody else and stand with them, not just today, but you could be a partner when you leave here today and partner with Austin and Hannah. And that's why they're here. I invited them to come, and it just so happened that last week I was in worship with them. This week they're in worship with me, and they're just going to be a tremendous blessing to you. They're friends of mine for several years, and we just are delighted to have Austin and Hannah. Give it up for them as they come to minister to you this morning. Praise God.
All right, would you guys stand with us for a moment? Just have a quick moment of worship. We wanted to sing a song for you guys that really represents our ministry and what we're seeing God do in our work and really what our work's all about. So this is kind of a new song, and we just wanted to share it with you guys. Please worship with us. Let's take a moment and just close our eyes. Let's remember that moment that we said yes to the Lord. That moment when God initiated relationship with us. That moment when we gave our heart to the Lord. When we said yes to Him.
Back to your heart, your kindness is
You're the miracle maker where there is no way. You cut through the sea, now you are the way. You made a way, my Jesus, with the cross, with the blood that you shed for us. Say thank you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You made a way where there was no way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We didn't deserve it, but you came on down. So that song really represents the redeeming and restorative work that we're really passionate and on fire about doing. So you guys, please be seated. Don't want to make you stand up the whole time.
All right. Well, goedemorgen allemaal. That means good morning, everyone, in Dutch. Thank you so much for inviting us to come. Thank you, Pastor Wallace, Pastor Joy. Thank you so much for just inviting us into your church. I love what you all have going here. That's awesome. Yeah, so this is Austin, and I'm Hannah, and we want to speak to you guys about our missionary calling to the city of Amsterdam. So Amsterdam is the biggest city in the Netherlands, in Europe. It is really, really old, really, really beautiful, full of so much history and art, has a really beautiful Christian heritage, but is now more of an atheist country and nation. Europe in general has pretty much stepped away from their faith. Most of their a lot of their churches are now museums or even like dance clubs or just venues. And we have a real heart to see revival come to Europe and to see revival come to different parts of Amsterdam in particular. So I was a missionary in Amsterdam for a couple of years. And Austin came and visited multiple times. And that was actually where we fell in love. But that's a story for another time. Won't go into details about that because it's complicated.
We'll spare you guys.
Great. So yeah, we love Amsterdam. We've lived there before. We've sown in there before, but we felt the Lord was telling us to come back to Seattle to spend some time with my family. I'm from there. Austin's from southern Alabama, so he feels like he's home right now.
Yo, I heard the crickets last night, and I was like, praise the Lord, I'm home.
So yeah, we felt like we were supposed to go home for a time to invest in my family and to get married, and we found ICC and plugged into that church and just been so blessed by that church, and that's how we got connected with you all. So yeah, but it felt God was telling us that season is closed and we're supposed to go back to Amsterdam and start fundraising this last spring, and COVID hit, and literally the week we started fundraising, our state shut down, and we were like, Jesus, we trust you, we know, and God's just continued to pave the way, and we're so thankful for that. So, yeah, anyways, babe, do you want to talk a little bit more about what we will be doing with ministry as a family?
Thanks for asking. I'd love to share, Hannah. So we're going to be ministering together as a family, Hannah and I. So the way we're working with Youth with a Mission organization in the Netherlands. So this is a huge missions organization. We chose them because the way their ministry kind of organization works is that we can come in and kind of start our own ministry underneath their umbrella, and they give us a lot of kind of autonomy to kind of go after what we really feel like the Lord's given us this huge heart and passion for. So kind of the DNA of Youth with a Mission, or YWAM, you guys are here to say YWAM a lot, is discipleship training schools and a mentorship process. So we're going to have a lot of students coming to us between the ages of 18 and 19, usually taking a gap year from college. They're trying to figure out, hey, what am I doing with my life before I just jump into studying for a career, or just jump into like a life, big life decision. So we get to be kind of spiritual parents to them and walk alongside them during this formative time in their life, and just really, you know, have a mother and a father heart for these folks coming in. Just get to love on them. It's the coolest thing. Additionally, we will be singing and praying and worshiping. YWAM has a house of prayer in the Red Light District, which some of you may not know. Prostitution and sex work is legalized in Amsterdam, and there's a red light district where most of that is kind of happening. And so what's really amazing is there's no gray line, guys. It's light and it's darkness, and it meets in the red light district. And it's really cool that God's given them a building in the red light district to have intercessory prayer and worship. They want it to be 24/7. We're not quite at that spot yet. But it's just an amazing place to kind of regroup as believers, come together, and then move out, kind of mobilize out from that place of prayer and intercession in the red light district. And so Hannah and I will be working about 40 hours a week with the YWAM organization. They kind of organize some of our schedule for us. We kind of help with things around the base and things like that that need help, like maintenance. But also we have our ministry together as a couple, which is what we mentioned, mentoring, discipleship training. And then individually, I will be working on the mobilization team in the city. So we'll be hosting tons of teams that are coming into our city. My team goes out and does evangelism. So we have transplants, locals, and tourists that we will go out and have conversations with in the street. We'll talk about like lots of things. God's been preparing my heart already for some of those conversations. I'm really excited for that. And then I also will be helping with music ministry. So you can see, so actually the next slide, sorry. In the bottom left picture, you see me playing guitar with a lady. So this woman, she is a tour guide in the city of Amsterdam. And I would say that tourism is just an unbelievable, amazing way to evangelize in the city, because there's, I mean, you guys would not believe how many people come through every day. And so this woman is a tour guide, and that's one of the biggest tourist attractions in the city. She goes around and shows people the history of the city. It was really cool. We were having a songwriter ministry. So I write songs. We wrote that song we played for you guys earlier. And so we get to write songs with people. And this lady came to me and she said, I really want a song to share with my tour groups as we go throughout the city. Because a lot of people come to Amsterdam for the darkness and kind of to party or just kind of experience kind of some of the dark things. But she wants to change that with every tour group that comes through. She wants to sing a song about Jesus. So we wrote a song for her. This is her performing the song, and it really sheds light on Jesus and the light of the city and the really cool history of Jesus in the city and Christianity. And she takes away from kind of the darkness. But every single tour group that comes through gets to hear her song that we wrote. And it's just really cool grassroots way of evangelizing in the city that we're really excited about. So Hannah, why don't you tell everyone what you're doing?
Yeah, so when I was there prior, I was a full-time outreach worker in the red light districts. I have a heart and a calling for serving women who have been in sex trafficking. I did that in Amsterdam. I actually just left last week my job in Seattle as a case manager to immigrant survivors of sex trafficking. And I want to go back. I feel like God has called me back to that district that I know and I love to continue to bring the gospel in one of the darkest places you can ever imagine. So I'm very excited for doing that part-time. A lot of people ask me, what does outreach look like? Like, you know, just I can't even imagine, what does that look like? So it looks like a couple of, there's a team of us, women who work on the evangelism team. We meet up, we pray, and we go out in twos to the windows with cookies and coffee and tea, and we just get to know the ladies working there while in their shift, while they're working, go in, talk with them, pray with them, share the gospel with them, and also help them figure out why are they there, what do they need to do to get out, if they are being trafficked, if they want out and vocalize they want out, then connecting them with the law enforcement and the government for the safe homes and all of that. So that's kind of what that looks like. I will be going back into that part-time, and then the majority of my ministry actually is I feel like God has been like, hey, I've given you these experiences working directly with survivors, and I want you to take these tools and start building something. And we went back to the base a year ago for a friend's wedding, and the base leaders approached us and were like, we want you here, we want you back. And they asked, like, Hannah, would you bring back justice seminars, which is interesting because God had started to put training on my heart. And so I was like, okay, I'll think about it. And I prayed about it and really felt like that's what God was calling me to. So I'm going to be pioneering networking with other nonprofits that are doing similar work in the city, in the country, and in the continent, and doing courses for professional development for other nonprofit workers. So that'll be more like deep dive into certain topics. And then I will also be doing like a human trafficking 101 in the Christian response courses as well, which will be more kind of surface level. How does this happen? Where does it happen? What can you do type thing? So yeah, I'm very excited about to start that as well. So yeah, if we can move on to the next slide. So that's what we will be doing. And then now it's turn it. What can you guys be doing? And for us, we are just asking.
Sorry, next slide, actually. Sorry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Miscellaneous. I skipped that. So just being a YWAMer, you're part of a global organization, and we will just be hosting teams. I don't know if I went to school in Virginia Beach at Regent University, if any of y'all know what that is. And my sister went to school there as well and danced with a professional ballet company called Masterworks and Christian Ballet Company, and they actually came. I love this picture up in the left. They came and they did professional ballet in the squares of Amsterdam, and they did a ballet that's about the gospel, essentially, the gospel story. And hundreds of people got to see the gospel through dance, and just hundreds of people gathered. I've never seen anything like it. And they had people healed, people coming to the Lord. Like, so we're excited to do that type of evangelism as well as just getting to know the people on our base and being plugged into the local church there in the city as well. So back to prayer. We need people to pray. Like, pray is what fuels us. Pray is what sustains us. Prayer is what keeps us going. So here are just some prayer points. If you all want to write them down, that would be great. We also have prayer cards at our table in the back that you're welcome to grab some. But we are just really praying for revival in Europe. The church leaders in Europe have really been falling on their faces in the last 10 years, particularly just saying, Lord, bring your spirit back to Europe. And there's been some really cool things, some waves of the spirit coming through Europe and some of the churches, and we're just praying for more of it. Also reformation in the sex industry and in the red light districts. There's a lot of policy talk going on right now about changing things to make the environment more hostile to traffickers and just sex work in general, which would be huge and really like shift the entire continent, really. So open hearts to the gospel, of course. We will be going out, both of us, in kind of our different ways. Austin more reaching out to the tourists, me more reaching out to the women in the red light district, which is the gospel and the hope of Jesus. You can just be praying for open hearts and a harvest. For me, as I network and travel and build these courses, that God will just, I will meet the right people at the right time with the right heart and just make those connections. Yeah, again, as I'm doing outreach, that the women will just see their worth and that they are worth more than sex work and that they are worth more than selling themselves and that they can do other things and that the Lord sees them and loves them despite all that they've been through. I love it when they have that revelation. It just changes their life. I actually want to share a really quick testimony about a woman that I got to know when I was there last time. First day I actually went out, I met her, and she had been in sex work for 13 years in the Amsterdam's red light district, came over from the Dominican Republic looking for work, thought there's, you know, had a better life, better chance of providing for herself and her family, and then found herself without speaking Dutch, not being able to speak Dutch or English. She ended up in the red light district as a way to pay her rent and her bills and was stuck there for 13 years. And we would go into her her window and she'd be like, hey guys, I'm having, like, demons are haunting me in the night. Like, I'm having night terrors. They're coming and they're harassing me. I dream that I'm chained to my bed and there's nothing I can do, but I just call the name of Jesus and they go away and I wake up. And she's like, but it still happens every night. Can you guys come and pray over my apartment and just cleanse it? And we prayed about it and we're like, we decided no, because we're like, we don't want to, because you're still in the red light district, there's still that stronghold in your life, and we don't want to come in and cleanse it, just have something else come back stronger, you know, while you still have that door open. So we started praying that God would provide a way for her to get out of the district. And a year later, we went into her room, like, or her window, like we did. We do every Wednesday night, and she just, like, closed the door and closed the curtains and looked at us, and she's like, this is my last night. I'm leaving. And we're like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. But, like, what happened? What was the your breaking point? What was the change? And she said, I was having a night terror last night, and I called out Jesus' name, and he came to me in my dream and broke the chains off my feet and told me, you're free, now leave the red light district. So she did. She left. She unregistered from the city as a sex worker, and in the next year, we just got to see her life totally transform. She got baptized. She started a Bible study in her apartment for other Spanish-speaking ladies that had been in sex work, and reconciled her relationship with her son, got really healthy, lost a bunch of weight, just like her continence just, it just totally changed. And so just be praying for that transformation. Like, we can provide people with all the resources, everything to get out and to leave that life. But unless Jesus comes and brings that revelation in their heart, that is what brings the lasting change. For discipleship training schools and also for COVID-19, that has presented a lot of barriers for us. Thankfully, we're able to get across the border with our residence permits, but it's kind of, things are changing every day. So just be praying that God still continues to open the doors.
Yeah, so not only in prayer, but you guys can support us if God leads you to in finances. And we know that this is a crazy time for so many people. I was actually personally laid off of work a week before COVID hit, and God just has been providing for us. It's been so amazing. And we just always say, like, we don't want anyone to give unless God puts it on your heart to give. But we love to be really transparent with our finances and just let people see exactly where every penny's going. Because we've lived there before, we know how much things cost, and that's actually a huge blessing. And then YWAM subsidizes our housing for us. So it's really wild, but the housing market there is actually higher than where we live in Seattle right now, which is unbelievable. And so we're really blessed. There's no way we could even go unless YWAM was helping us in that way. So basically, the Dutch government requires us to make the minimum minimum wage for their country, which is about $30,000 a year, just as a family. Just, they want us to know, they want to say, like, you know, you're bringing value to our culture. You're not coming and taking from us. And that's kind of how their government views us, or views that amount. So anyway, so that's why we have the amount that we have. But yeah, so we just have kind of listed... Yeah, we're just really transparent, and we love to be just totally upfront with people. So thank you guys so much for letting us come and just considering partnering with us. So, yeah.
Praise God. And I'm going to ask you, step over to the keyboard there. Is it true you play classical music? You play classical music a little bit?
Very true.
I think she should play while we take the offering, don't you? Amen. Praise God. So here's what I want to share with you. I'm a strong believer. And I've done this in my own personal life through COVID-19. Every week of my life. Last week I was, not last week, week before last, before I left for Seattle, I was in Bojangles. Wow, Bojangles. Lord, I'll see you in September in Bojangles. But I was going through the Bojangles drive-thru, and I just looked in my rearview mirror, and there was a car behind me, as there are always cars in the Bojangles drive-thru now. And there was a lady there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, buy her a meal. And I said, okay. So thank God there's only one in the car. So come on, guys, lighten up. So I get to the window, and I get my biscuit and my unsweetened tea with lemon. And I said, could I pay for the ladies behind me? And she said, well, sure. So I paid the bill, and I just moved forward, and I just looked in my rearview mirror, and I saw the lady reach out with money, and then she pulls it back, and I go, yes, you know, she got it. And then I'm sitting at the exit getting ready to turn, and doot-doot-doot, and she goes like that, like thumbs up. I said, good deal. Who was it? I have no idea. But I do know this. The Holy Spirit said, buy that lady's meal. Amen? So, God is good. I live that way. Amen? I live that way. Just listening to the Lord. Sometimes he may say, not do Bojangles, but sometimes he may say, write somebody a check for $100. I say, Lord, are you sure? Or my wife will call me and she'll say, is it okay if I give $50? It's on, sure. Because I know the Holy Spirit is speaking to her. This is not the time to stop. This is the time to increase your giving. This is not the time to say no to missionaries. It broke my heart just a week or so ago. I looked on Facebook and I saw this missionary that we've had here before. I won't call his name, but I saw this missionary that said, okay, any pastors? I was on this closed group, you know, with all Assemblies of God churches. And he says, are any of the churches opening back up to missionaries? And I thought, what? Are any churches opening back up to missionaries? Why did they stop supporting missionaries? So nobody answered him. I looked at it 2 days later. Still no pastor responded. And I just called him. I said, hey, man, I want to encourage you. We still support you. And I know there are families in there. He said, oh, yes. He said, your people at Carpenter Shop that support us have not stopped since this thing started happening in March. It's not the time to stop. It's the time to start. Give, and it shall be what? Given to you. I was thinking, sitting here this morning, how many of you have like Dish Network or DirecTV? Anybody? Come on, raise your hand. Dish Network. Do you know that if you have Dish or DirecTV, some of you, hey, well, you know, I got Showtime or HBO. Do you know that you could call them and say, hey, I want to drop HBO or drop Showtime for, why would you want to drop it? And they'll start to try to beg you not to drop it. And then they'll say, hey, we'll lower the price. Okay, let them lower the price. Because if they drop the price $30 a month or $20 a month, you know what you can do with that $20 a month? You can give it to him, okay? So make a deal, okay? Call them up. Or if you got Sirius XM Radio, anybody, call them up and say, I want to cancel. You know what they're going to do? They're not going to let you cancel. They're going to bargain with you. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to give you a lesser amount. They're so desperate right now, they're giving you 3 months free. Check it out. Just call Sirius XM Radio. They'll give it to you for 3 months free. But make a deal. Let them lower the price. And the difference that they lower, maybe they saved you $10 a month. Give $10 a month to him. Or maybe you can say, hey, you know what? Maybe I do need to just step out in faith and give a missionary $25 a month, $50 a month. I'm asking you today to go by that table and meet Austin and Hannah. Get a card, sign up, say, hey, I'll do a year. Today's going to be transformational in your life. You joined a 40-day fast. And during that 40 days of fast, you know what you're going to do? You're going to save a ton of money from Bojangles, Pizza Hut, Sam's Club. You're going to save a lot of money because you're not eating like you were before. What do you do with the money? You give it to the missionary. Amen? Come on. You can't get out of here without the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart in creative ways to participate. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for partnership with this couple who will hit the streets and turn prostitutes into followers of Jesus, to pull them out of the flames and into the fire of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for Amsterdam, Holland being changed because of missionaries like these young people. Thank you for partners today who will go by the table and sign up and make a commitment for 6 months or a year to say, we'll stand with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you'd like to give to missions, I'll tell you what you do. You just, one of our ushers or security guys, would you put a bucket on the table out there in the hallway for Austin and for Hannah? And when you go out of the building, just go out and go by the table and drop it in, okay? And if you want to be a partner, pick up a form, fill it out, and leave it with them, and they'll help you with that. It might take a little time, but guess what? We got time. Amen? We got time. We don't have anything else to do except go out and eat the biggest meal we've eaten in weeks today. All right? Because tomorrow, somebody say tomorrow, is a new day in my life. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys. Fellowship outside the building. Please don't get, you know, too connected and up close and personal inside. Take your fellowship out of the building. So just go ahead, and if you need to stop by, just go out kind of slowly. Don't everybody go out there at one time. Let's just stand and just stand in His presence as we begin to exit the facility here. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for sharing today in what God is speaking to our hearts about the ministry of fasting. Thank you for sharing and partnering with Austin and Hannah today. Thank you for doing that, because you're going to make an eternal difference, and we appreciate that in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go.